The following is a production of Vanderbilt's Owen Graduate School of Management. For more information about Owen, please visit owen.vanderbilt.edu.
This is Rob Simbeck for the Vanderbilt Owen Graduate School of Management. I'm talking today with Larry Van Horn, Associate Professor of Management, about healthcare during the 2008 election cycle. The healthcare industry makes up 1/7 of the American economy, and its component parts, doctors, hospitals, insurers, and drug manufacturers, are all well represented in Washington. Few topics concern Americans more, so it may be surprising then that there has been so little discussion of healthcare on the 2008 campaign trail. Larry, welcome. Why are we hearing so little about healthcare in this election cycle?
While everyone in the United States consumes healthcare in one form or another, and many people enjoy employer-sponsored health insurance coverage, understanding how complex this marketplace is and what kinds of changes might be in store are very difficult to convey in a simple soundbite or even in a debate context when juxtaposed with another candidate's position. We all have this untenable desire to want more healthcare services and pay lower prices for them. And producing that is not sustainable.
What do people need to keep in mind as they look at the people talking about healthcare or as they think about their own?
Well, I think a number of things. First, people need to appreciate that the single biggest driver of healthcare costs are the lifestyle choices that we all make as individuals. We have an obesity epidemic in the United States. 60% of our population is overweight or obese. And that predisposes us to a myriad of healthcare problems, not the least of which is heart disease, diet, and diabetes. These are some of the biggest driver of our long-run healthcare costs. Yet, we as individuals take very little personal accountability for the lifestyle choices we make and the corresponding impact that that has on healthcare costs. If we think for a moment about comparing it with the way we drive our cars and the way we manage our houses, both of which we have insurance for, we are much more judicious in the way in which we drive because we know there are consequences to our actions. If we speed, we're going to pay the price in terms of higher premiums. The world of healthcare is very different. We have historically tried to absolve individuals from accountability for their health status and meanwhile focus on the restoration of health when people have bad outcomes. We need to move as a society towards one in which we hold people accountable at the outset for making poor lifestyle decisions and try to change the precursors to poor health.
Now, okay, so that's the micro level. That's me and you. Now, when you talk about the macro level, when you talk about the institutions, the government entities that are kind of deal with healthcare, what do we need to concentrate on there?
What we need to concentrate on is the fact that the majority of Americans have a very poor appreciation for the fact that healthcare costs as much as it really does. People, if you ask the majority of people in the United States how much does a physician office visit cost, they'll cite the costs associated with their copay, how much they pay out of pocket, not appreciating that it's probably just a small fraction of that actual bill. Same thing for prescription drugs, same thing if you encounter a hospital stay. Furthermore, when people look at their employer-based contributions, they think that we are paying for our health care services in the form of our employer contributions, ignoring the fact that they bear only a small fraction of the total bill the employer ends up providing on their behalf. Another point to be made is that it all comes back to roost. We all end up paying for health care at one point or another. We earn lower wages because our employers are paying us in the form of health benefits. So, in fact, you are footing the entire bill. It's just not made readily transparent to you at this point in time. Unlike most other markets where when you purchase a product or service, you know what the corresponding benefit is going to be and how much the cost is going to be at the time you make that purchase decision. In healthcare, those two are very different and result in very different purchase decisions on the part of Americans. What this is leading to is healthcare growing as a share of the GDP, which in and of itself is not problematic as long as the benefit that we get as a society is in excess of the costs. The problem is we don't know the cost when we make these decisions, and the share of the cost being borne by federal agencies in the form of Medicare and Medicaid is growing at an untenable rate. It is at the point now where most state budgets are dominated by their Medicaid liability. At the same time, because of these increasing costs, we see a growing number of uninsured, now approximating 47 million people in the United States. So all those factors and the escalation of those factors are leading us to believe that we've got a crisis in the world of health care. I want people to appreciate also that there's a difference, and the candidates in their political platforms aren't particularly clear on this point either, that there's a difference between health insurance and prepaid health care. Health insurance, every American should have and every American needs, just like we have compulsory automobile insurance, because the consequences of these rare events are catastrophic and they generate social costs. At the end of the day, if you find yourself in a position where you need significant health care resources, somebody's going to end up providing those for you, and they're going to be, those costs are going to be transferred to another party. At the same time, however, the majority of the healthcare consumption in the United States that's provided and supported by health insurance is really prepaid healthcare in the form of physician office visits, whether it's prescription drugs. A lot of these issues are part of prepaid healthcare, which our government-sponsored tax system has created an incentive to provide. And some of the candidates are trying to make inroads towards changing that, to fundamentally change the incentives around the purchase of health insurance / prepaid health care and try to rationalize what has historically been a separation between the prices that people have paid and the consequences in terms of their purchase behavior.
On a more purely philosophical level, how have politicians classically done in dealing with health care in this country, and then we'll set up what's going on right now with the candidates who are out there?
Well, historically, we've done a very poor job. We, as a nation, philosophically haven't taken the approach that other nations have, which is health care is something that has to be universally provided to all, and that we are going to ensure that there's a government funding mechanism to make sure that's in place. There's a lot of history here. But going back to the early days, we as a country decided that the government was not going to be the primary supporter / provider of healthcare services, and the private market was going to be there to do that. The thing that I find challenging here as an individual which appreciates the value of markets is that markets work well as long as you're willing to allow the markets to function and you're willing to allow individuals to pay the consequences of bad decisions in a market context. If at the end of the day, however, we as a country are unwilling to have our citizenry pay the ultimate price, that is, in terms of reduced health status and the most dire of those, death as a result of not getting access to health care, not living their lives appropriately, not making savings and investment decisions which are going to provide them that access, the market mechanism won't work. Maybe one way of viewing what other countries have done is to say, we acknowledge the fact that as a civilized society, that we are not going to allow an individual to go without. We just can't do that. And as a result, we need to enforce and ensure that there is some redistribution of wealth and some level of access to care ensured to everybody, because markets just can't work. That's one way of viewing the contrast between the United States and many other countries.
And we've got the contrast, too, between the Republican and Democratic parties. How is that going to play out in this election?
Well, all the candidates adopt a similar type of objective, and that is they want to provide affordable, high-quality health care for all. And whether it's the Republican candidates or the Democratic candidates, they all tend to use that same language and that same objective, and maybe that's something that all voters inherently appreciate. The way they go about achieving that is somewhat different. A Republican candidate such as John McCain looks towards individual accountability and responsibility, more measured government intervention in markets, greater onus on the individual, and a reform of the tax system to try to change the individual's incentives. The Democratic candidates are more likely, or have stated that they're more inclined to expand current public service programs such as Medicaid and SCHIP, increase the level of regulation and mandates around ensuring that employers provide health insurance coverage for their workers, and tend to take a more visible hand in what that outcome would look like rather than letting the private market arrive at its own solution.
Do you see healthcare being an important enough issue to really help sway votes? Has it been lost in the shuffle because of its complexity?
I do. I do think it's been lost in the shuffle because of the complexity. It's just very hard for me to sit down and compare all of the myriad of provisions and differences across the candidates' platforms and understand what it will mean for me as an individual, an employed individual, or what it will mean for me as a retired individual. So I think that complexity makes it very difficult. It's also the case that at the end of the day, changes will take place in the healthcare arena independent of who takes place in that, who takes that office. The government is the single largest purchaser of healthcare services through CMS and their role in Medicare and Medicaid. They set the standards with respect to payment, and you see many private third-party mechanisms adopting what the government does in terms of the way they go about incentivizing, reimbursing, and paying for healthcare services. Later this fall, the government will introduce its pay-for-performance initiatives in October, which is the government taking the lead on changing the dimensions upon which we pay for and incentivize healthcare delivery in the United States. It's one step forward. So independent of who is in office, we will see changes taking place because where we are today and where we're going in the next few years is unsustainable.
So, what could pull us out of what's going to amount to a piecemeal, probably worst of all possible worlds, healthcare system? Is there something you can see on the horizon? Or is it simply going to take some sort of catastrophic realignment?
I don't know what the catastrophic spark might be. I think the most likely scenario is that in the ensuing 5 years, we're likely to see incremental change on a number of fronts, which will hopefully be constructive in terms of providing greater access to information, greater accountability on the part of individuals, changing the incentives of providers, providing more of a impetus and a reward and a business case for the provision of quality. And I think those will all be positive things which will likely take place regardless of who's in that office. I think the most notable changes that could take place dependent on that individual in the office is how they address the issues of access and the role of the uninsured.
Thank you, Larry. Larry Van Horn is Associate Professor of Management at the Vanderbilt Owen Graduate School of Management. For Owen, this is Rob Simbeck.